For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
What up?
You may have noticed an increase in articles, videos, and posts recently talking about the health risks of inadequate sleep. Well, if you've been listening to this show, you know that Legacy Sports Nutrition has been telling you guys that for years. Do you want less belly fat, more testosterone, more energy, better mood? There's one hack that doesn't require a change in diet or more exercise. Improve your sleep with Recovery PM. My favorite product from Legacy Sports Nutrition, Joe's too. Take two Recovery PM about an hour before bed and feel the difference in the quality of sleep you get, and after a couple of weeks, you'll notice how everything else is improving. Recovery PM is a top-selling product at LegacySubs.com, and that's because over 80% of the people that buy it once come back for more. That's not marketing, that's results. So Joe's been using it, feels great. He's at a party right now. So Joe gets so much sleep, good sleep. He's able to go out to parties, surprise birthday parties on Friday nights.
Right, and I show up on the show, yeah.
Right. So try it now. You won't regret it. Go to LegacySupps.com. That's LegacySupps.com or RecoveryPM.com. That's RecoveryPM.com. And use code K100 for an extra 10% off your order. And of course, using code K100 supports this show too. Level up your life with Recover PM now from Legacy Sports Nutrition and our boy Nick Aldis.
And I don't use the all-in-one, but I'm going to. I use the nighttime fat burner, which has done, which has been very effective. Check out for fat burning, for muscle gain, for anything that you can imagine. They have Legacy Subs for men and Legacy Subs for women. Check that out at LegacySubs.com. Boom.
Next is from
Valerie D.
Valerie D, and the subject is propaganda. Hey, Conan, Joe, and Putin's bootlicker disco. I really enjoy K100 talks and find myself often agreeing with you, but in a recent episode you played Jimmy Dore's comments about the Nazis in Ukraine killing Russians. How do we know that's factual, not Russian propaganda that Jimmy Dore fell for? The Russians are kings of propaganda, not saying the U.S. is honest either, but just because there's opposition to other stories out there doesn't mean it's true. I suggest you listen to Peter Zeihan on Joe Rogan's podcast. Putin was going to attack Ukraine regardless of NATO or the Nazis. I did listen to Peter Zeihan on Joe Rogan's podcast. She says, P.S., I still love you, Disco, and that's from Valerie D., who we don't know who's, if it's a girl. It's Valerie.
No, it's a,
name,
it's a girl Joe. Because her little Google that's email, her little icon's a chick. So
okay, interesting. But I will say this, bro, I want to tell her that I played the Jimmy Dore clip just because it kind of, I could have played any clip, but there was like so many clips out there and I've seen so much of this stuff. I just played that one because people know who that is and like, you know, whatever. But I listened to Peter Zeihan on Joe Rogan's podcast. I don't know anything that's factual here. Like, well, this is overseas. This is Ukraine. But I will say this, where she says the Russians are kings of propaganda, not saying the U.S. is honest either, but just because there's opposition to other stories out there doesn't mean it's true. Well, Zelensky is actually jailing journalists, too, which is, you know, so it's like, I don't know what's like, I don't know what's real. But like, how would you know what actually is going on in Ukraine? Remember the war back in 2000 when we attacked
Iraq or Afghanistan?
When 9/11 happened, right?
Yeah.
Well, when 9/11 happened, and then we went to war, the Gulf War started, bro, there was like – the war was on TV. There was live bombings and stuff. It was like fascinating to tell like, you know, they would give updates and stuff. And it's like we are really hearing nothing of what's going on. Like our media is not presenting like a daily update on where this war is going. Like, you know, who has taken what territory. It's just – I just don't know. I, like I said, this is we're in a period of time where media is nobody trusts it. So, like, how do you trust this? You know, I don't trust our media. I don't trust Russian media. I don't trust UK. Remember when I said I like WikiLeaks? Like years ago, I used to say WikiLeaks is my favorite news source because they actually show you the document. Like they provide and show the physical evidence of things that they didn't. So, like, okay, yeah, I get to see the evidence. All the other news is like reports. An official here said this and stuff. So it's like, whatever, you know,
did
so,
you ever see Wag the Dog?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So
excellent
for,
movie,
for the listeners, that movie was basically the story was America faked a war and kind of shot it on Hollywood sets and stuff to distract the public from other, scandals or whatever. I can't remember exactly, but that, you know, brings up the subject. It's very strange today when you see like Joe Biden mocking transgenders and it's just because someone faked it with an AI speech and right. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things can be fake now and we really wouldn't know, you know, I just always say, you know, I guess that was the friggin' X-Files or somebody saying, but it's question everything, always question everything, you know? And like Disco says and does, go through multiple sources. Don't just rely on one source ever.
Basically, that's the problem. I'm trying to, so if you remember, there's three volumes of the Gulag Archipelago by Solzhenitsyn, which I've read two of them. And then right now, as you know, I'm reading this on Lenin. Okay. And after this, I'm going to read about Stalin. And if you look back for over 100 years, their MO has been jailing, you know, jailing their opponents, killing their opponents, or sending him to a gulag. Now they poison people. They discredit people. But lying has always been a part of the communist way. You don't know how many ethnic minorities they've tried to erase their history. You can't trust them. That's just the bottom line. I'm not saying you can trust the United States because they're kind of like, Russia's like in your face about it. The United States is always like, oh, human rights. And how about the human rights in the United States? But I think one of the things and that's the problem that I have, Disco, is that you read stuff and you don't know who's behind it. You don't know if they have an agenda. You got to be reading various things and kind of make up your own mind, you know? And so that's the way news are, because you can't trust news sources. You can't trust leaders. You can't trust anybody. Somebody's being paid off or somebody's in cahoots with somebody else. And this Nazi thing is actually something that Putin started as an excuse to go into Ukraine. Remember, he kept bringing all those troops to the border and the United States was saying he's going to invade. And he goes, oh, we're not going to invade. These are just exercises. Why else would you have such a massive troop buildup? And he invaded. He needed an excuse. And one of the excuses was that since everybody hates the Nazis, he was going to denazify Ukraine, you know? So it's just this girl, Valerie D. You just don't know who's telling the truth anymore because they're the masters of lying. And so are we.
Right. The Azov Battalion is definitely 100% were Nazis.
Right.
That's confirmed. Then
what country doesn't have Nazis? You know, whether they're small or they're large.
Always,
Look at the Charlottesville guys.
Like perfect example. If you want, like, in our country, everybody looks at like white supremacists, Nazis, like all these bad people, right? Okay, if they're gonna be in our society and like be good for something, at least fight for us, like fight against invading people. You know what I'm saying? Like, would you have a problem with white supremacists in our military going out and overseas and fighting for our country against the foreigners, which is probably why they signed up for the job? Would you have a problem with that?
I don't know.
Can you trust them to take care of their fellow soldiers that aren't white?
A lot of times we talk about race.
I don't know, because if you're a white supremacist, you're not going to – what if there's a guy that's Latino or black and he's dying? Are you going to not help him because you don't fucking like – I don't want that guy by me, dude. You know what I'm saying? And in the military, that's what they show. You never leave anybody behind. And when I was there, you know, I had a different mindset. You know, I was there to defend my country. If I had to die for my country, I would. I'm so glad that I got smartened up by this Latino officer, and I figured out real quick what the real reason. Negative. And he opened up my eyes, because I was a huge ideology was
pro-United.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And mm-hmm. I just believed in everything our government said until I started to read the history. And I was like, bro, these motherfuckers are gangsters. Yeah.
All right, so next is from Lion McCarthy, and the subject is cartels. Hey, guys, big fan. Quick question for K-Dog. Booking in Mexico, has he ever had dealings with cartels or had to change booking plans due to their likings, etc.? Thanks, and that's from Lion from Blackpool, England.
No, I've never had to change. Cartel members, what they do is they go to the shows, mm-hmm. and if they like you, they'll give you some money after the show. They'll buy your mask, and usually what they would do is, because they didn't want to take you to a club because something could go down in a club and they didn't want you to be caught in the crossfire. This has happened a lot. They'll get into the dressing room. They'll have their security get in front of the door. They'll close the doors, and they'll order a bunch of food, a bunch of drinks, a bunch of girls, and they just have parties there. The problem is getting out of the party, because it'll be like 4 a.m. You're like, yo, dude, I got a dip. They're like, nah, you have to stay, you know, and there have been times where, you know, they've had to pay a plane flight for wrestlers so they could get to their job. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Interesting.
But then no booking changes, no.
So Conan.
What up?
I've been training, and I've been taking my AG1 by Athletic Greens every day. What a product. Everything you need. I used to take a lot of vitamins. Okay, I'm a pretty healthy guy. I'm very much into personal health, diet, exercise. But I was taking – I had all my vitamins, and I had like 8-9 bottles of vitamins that I would take. Athletic Greens is the perfect replacement for that. It's got 75 high-quality ingredients. Like I said, everything you need. It's a comprehensive health and power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. I take mine after my workout. You can take it. There's many different ways you can take it, but taking it after the workout is perfect for me because I get my nutrition like right when I'm done working out because I do intermittent fasting. So it's like, it's perfect. It inspires me to be as great as the athletes that I'm a fan of. You know, I like to work out, and like these guys take this too. It's like AG1 is so much more than a greens powder. It's all of your key health products in one. Joe, you've been taking it too, right?
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, you can, you know, drink it in the morning, drink it later on in the day after a workout. I kind of rotate. Just depends on how I'm feeling that day, but I love having it in the morning. I did replace coffee with it, and sometimes I'll use it after I do my fight camp workout. So, but the taste is great. And you feel noticeably different. You know, sometimes later in the day, you get a little lethargic and whatnot. Just pop in your AG1 by Athletic Greens, have your drink, and or take it to the gym. You know, it works very, very well.
Yeah, you get your daily nutrients, 75 high-quality ingredients all in one. It's a comprehensive solution, and it's what you need for your supplemental routine. The Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Conan. That's athleticgreens.com/KONAN. Check this product out. I use it every day. Joe Rogan uses them as a sponsor. You can tell this type of product that if you're into physical fitness and you're into personal health, you need AG1 by Athletic Greens.
Yo, and real quick, it contains chlorophyll, which carries oxygen to the blood cells. It boosts your immune system, better digestion, whole plethora of things. All 3 of us use it. We all swear by it.
But check that out at athleticgreens.com/Conair.
Boom.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Next one's from Candy Fist Toad, and the subject is Bulldog. A lot of recent emails have been talking about this stuff on Wrestling Bob's YouTube channel, so I'm going to add it to that pile. Recently, he's been covering a lot of British Bulldogs run during Wrestling Bio's YouTube. And he's been covering a lot of British Bulldogs
run. He's a big disco fan, by the way.
During 1998, and frankly, the guy's a mess. Even during his entrances, he's sometimes staggering over his own feet and clearly is not working sober at all. Conan Disco, I'm not asking you to bury someone that is no longer with us, but I was wondering if you have any memories of Bulldog during this time. Plus, do you have any idea why Bulldog, Neidhart, and Bret Hart were never linked up on TV and WCW? Yeah, Neidhart and Davey were, you know, they were having issues. Is about the best way I could put it. You know,
yeah, but
I think Bret didn't want to work with them because they were having issues.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, and they weren't the only ones. Everybody was on pills back then. Everybody was fucked up, especially from their generation. Right. But Bulldog was always great. I first met him in Canada when I was with Stampede, and he was the world's greatest practical joker. And when you were around him, you were going to get joked. And I remember the first time I ever saw like somas and shit, we had gone to a trip to Kuwait. We had gone to Kuwait, and the promoter was this little French guy. He had a really big head, ego-wise. And so I remember he had gotten this guy called Angel of Death, who was this tall, bald guy from Stampede. And there was another guy there. Remember this guy that wrestled in WCW as Chip the Firebreaker?
Yes, Firebreaker Chip.
Yeah, Chris Thompson or something like that. That was kind of like a Marcus Bagwell type guy. Curtis Thompson. Mm-hmm. You know, Bill, kind of good looking. And he was like, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to beat you the next day. And then he pointed to British Bulldog, and I'm beating you the last day. Just kind of being a dick. So we were at the table. I'd never seen pills or didn't even know what the effect was. And I saw him drop some pills in the guy's soup. The guy drank his soup, and he went face first into the fucking soup, and we had to pull his head out of there. And I was like, holy shit, I better watch out around this guy because he might pill me. And I remember I got into the bathroom, and this motherfucker had taken a pen, which you can still do to this day. And you know the thing that you use to close the door? Mm-hmm. There's a little hole right by that little knob. He had taken a pen, and he put it from occupied to unoccupied without me knowing it. And people were opening the door, and I was like, the fuck's going on here? You know, and finally somebody smartened me up. They go, Bulldog. And he would order massive amounts. And I do mean like for five people, massive amounts of room service to my room and shit like that. But he was a great practical joker, great guy. It really broke my heart to see that he got so deep into pills and would show up to work fucked up in WCW.
Real quick, because I asked this on Raven, and he claimed that he didn't know exactly what it was. When you guys make the joke about, you know, you want a bomber? What was that? What kind of pill was that?
Halcyon.
Halcyon. Okay.
H-bomb.
Yeah, H-bomb. That, okay, cool.
Want a bomber? Yeah, Disco want a bomber.
Raven claimed no knowledge as to what that was, but he did say,
I'm sure he took a million houses.
Someone asked a question in the Raven mailbag about you guys on the Osmonds show.
Right.
Raven claimed that, right after your guys' appearance, immediately the reviews came out and it said Raven was the star of the show. That's just, he said he read that's the reviews news. And that's what it said.
Okay. Next is from, Heartbreak Kid like Trent is an interesting one. Heartbreak Kid Trent, subject is K100 question. Hello to the crew. Hope all is well with you. My question is for the K-Dog. If you had Disco and Joe you'd like to add in, I'd like to hear also. But if you had to start, bench, cut, which player would you choose? Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Kobe Bryant. That's much love from Houston, Texas. Keep up the good work and dope content. So start, bench, and cut. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Kobe Bryant. Go ahead, Joe. Conan.
I don't really understand the question. Because
you got to start one, cut one, and bench one.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, LeBron James.
Before
and
I say this, you don't cut or bench anyone, and you start all three.
Well, you have to start, bench, or cut.
Jesus Christ. This is personal.
I got my answer.
Yeah, this is personal choice. I would – bro, this is very hard.
I would start Michael Jordan. I would bench Kobe Bryant because Michael Jordan's starting, and I would cut LeBron James because he's a crybaby.
That's the same exact thing I was going to say.
I'll change it a little bit. Mine's different. I would cut Kobe He's okay. A fucking ball hog. I would bench LeBron and I would start Jordan.
Next is from Matthew Hansen. Subject is Cameron Grimes. Hello, guys. Cameron Grimes was WWE and goes back to his Trevor Lee name. Should he go to AEW and form a faction with Keith Lee, Lee Johnson, and Lee Moriarty? They could be the foreign – that is the number 4-N, Lee, L-E-E-G-I-O-N, the Foreign Legion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me
– should we suspend him for that pitiful
first of all,
comedy?
This guy, Cameron Grimes, isn't a foreigner. And number two, what happened to him? He was on NXT kind of prominently, then just disappeared.
He's still on NXT, isn't he?
Is he? I don't watch NXT, so yeah, maybe I'm NXT. Speaking out
Look
of line.
Look that up, Joe. See if he's still
yeah,
on NXT.
Yeah, I'm looking him up now.
Okay, next is from Robert Corbo. The subject is Karrion Kross being waived.
Grimes is waiting for creative plans on the main roster, according to the internet.
Interesting. Yeah, hey, guys, I'm a big fan of the podcast. This is my first email. Now, although I don't really watch pro wrestling anymore, I'm really a big fan of Karrion Kross. The guy has a look, mic skills, and legit MMA background to boot. But Triple H, from what it looks like, is wasting him. His feud with Drew McIntyre was a dud. His feud with Rey Mysterio was underwhelming. And his participation in the Fatal 5-Way to be the number one contender was lackluster. The guy should be either fighting in the main event for the top title in the company or should be feuding with top stars like Edge or especially Brock Lesnar to put him over not fighting for mid-card title. So my question is, what do you guys think the WWE's creative plans for Karrion Kross after WrestleMania, if they have any plans for him at all? Thank you for answering my question, and God bless. I've spoken to Kross and everything. Bro, he's in the same spot that a lot of wrestlers have been in over the years. Just they're not doing anything with you at the current time. Yeah. And, like, we've all been in that spot. That if you find something and, you do it well and you go in the next – it's just, bro, they just have a lot of talent there right now, you know? And his character – it's like when you got up to the main roster, the whole monster gimmick wasn't going to work anymore because now you have to sell for guys because now you're on the main roster. You're not just killing guys out there like he was doing in NXT, you know? So, and plus two is a lot of his matches, he's holding back. Like he's not doing a lot of stuff in his matches. I don't know why, you know, like he does that helicopter F5 where he's like, I haven't seen him do that to anybody lately. You know, like he's got a lot of moves that he could be doing that he doesn't do.
But wouldn't you imagine that maybe that's not up to him? Maybe it's how they're producing his matches.
I don't know. No, usually, they don't tell you move for move. What to move, you know? So
maybe they say don't use that helicopter because Brock uses the F5.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't be able to do it.
Let me just say, Kevin, you know, he's got all the goods. He's just one good storyline away from getting over. Mm-hmm. I think the Drew McIntyre thing did not work for whatever reason. I was not a fan of that either, and I was surprised because they're both good workers. Unfortunately, the thing with Rey Mysterio, he had to kind of play second fiddle because the thing with Dom is much hotter. So there he's kind of a victim of circumstance. But, yeah, he's still got a great look, still has a great attitude, still has a hot chick with him, still has a cool entrance, you know, and he's just one good storyline or feud from being over. So I don't worry about him.
Yo, Conan and Joe.
Ew.
Breaking news. Manscaped is now selling beard products. That's right. They've gone from waist to face to help you replace that bulky razor with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Manscaped helps you get the golden rod of a Greek god. Now they've created the best tools for you to turn heads with a clean, perfectly groomed and conditioned beard. Finally tame your mane by going to manscaped.com and use our code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping. This kit is about to change your life. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier than ever to craft your signature look. It will take your facial hair anywhere from Gandalf, the Great Wizard, to Totally Bare. You can even look like the ZZ Top guys if you want to. LaGrange, great song. You agree, Conan?
Tremendous.
It all starts with the Beard Hedger, and this thing is a juggernaut of fixing faces. It's waterproof, and its cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths, all with just one guard. Perfect. No more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. And, like, you heard that. No more drawers full of 20 different guards. It's just
Thank
one
God.
Guard. Perfect, yeah. So with 20 lengths, it's never so easy to find your beard look. Plus, the trimmer has a titanium-coated T-blade that is tough on the hair but smooth on your face. Do you know that I'm slim in the waist but cute in the face? Would you agree to that?
You are a Southern Belle.
Yeah, the Pro Kit is much more than a trimmer, Joe. It comes with 4 dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care, and it has the beard shampoo and conditioner. All your hair is different. Your beard and hair is much more coarse and easier to damage. That's why the kit has shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replenish your natural oils, promoting beard health. Well, then they have the beard oil, too. And this nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath. And they cap it off with the beard balm. It's a pomade that shaves, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oils. Fantastic. And the beer kit also comes with three free gifts. Guess what they are? A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping with their code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use our code K100.
To Manscaped, which we love your products. We use them. We swear by them, okay?
Let me ask you a question. Sami Zayn follows you on Twitter, right?
Right.
You guys follow each other? Why don't you DM him our promo code here and see if he can...
If he's interested.
Yeah, he's interested in that for his beard, yeah.
Yeah, perfect, I think, right? That's part of his personality right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so check out Manscaped. That brings you the most comfortable underwear you've ever tried. They got this leather bag that's awesome. Everything they do is high quality. So check out all their products at Manscaped. Boom.
Next is from David Barnett, and the subject is Gimmick Match.
I got to say, before we start this email, David's clearly a newer listener, so I'm going to plead for his not to get suspended. Obviously, this is an innocent question that he didn't know the answer to. So,
hey, guys, I was watching some old TNA yesterday, and it got me wondering about the Ultimate X Match, my favorite gimmick match of all time. Were either or both of you working there at the time the match was conceptualized? If so, I was just curious what the creative process was like. Could you provide a bit of behind-the-scenes insight to the Ultimate X and who was involved with the idea? Also, on a quasi-related note, I heard you guys ripping on AEW's giant golden ring from the ladder match. Disco, I know you think it looks like a child-sized life preserver. While that's a valid point personally, I think it looks more like one of those inflatable rubber rings you would sit on after having ass surgery. It's a golden hemorrhoid ring. Cheers, gentlemen. David. That's actually true. It could be a golden hemorrhoid ring. David, I don't know if you've listened to the show before, but I'm the one that invented the Ultimate X match. It was my idea, and the concept was we were trying to come up with different types of matches, and I just said this would be a cool match to have on a video game if TNA gets a video game. And I was just thinking, like, this would be a cool little, like, thing. So, like,
is that true? Because I saw in, like, a history of TNA video that Don Callis says he invented the
absolutely
X-Men
not.
X-Men. That's what he said.
Proven that.
Okay, I was
history
TNA.
Is written by the winners, you know.
I was during TNA when it happened. And the two things I can say, Don Callis did come up with the idea. That's number one. And number two, a lot of people regard after the reverse battle royal that being the second worst idea in the history of TNA. And I disagree. I think it was the worst. But anyways, next letter.
Well, first of all, I'm considering leaving the show because okay. One of the things
you can go to Vince Russo. I heard he pays well.
One of the things that we do not endorse in the show is misinformation, and you just provide a lot of misinformation.
Oh, I was there, bro.
You're lying. You're misinformed.
Maybe
next is from Roland C. Bonet, and the subject is Reigns and Rhodes for President. What's up, guys? Just wondering if any of you caught the clip after Raw and Boston where John Cena brings out Cody Rhodes to almost endorse him as the new face of the company. With Cody coming out in his suit and the huge patriotic imagery of the Tron in the background, I got vibes of a candidate vying to become the next president of the United States. In a way, this year's WrestleMania main event has that presidential race feel to it. Hogan War and Austin Rocket Mania 17 were the only two WrestleMania title matches to have this feel, where the winner isn't predictable, in my opinion. It's almost like the fans will decide the winner as the debates go on between Roman and Cody. The crowd should be electric for this one, a very mixed crowd. Who are you voting for? Well, I'm going to vote for the guy that I think is going to win. I think it's going to be Cody. Even though they could just keep it on Reigns. I don't know, you know? I mean, it just seems like it's time for him to lose, though, right?
Yeah, I think it should go to Cody, and let's start some new shit going on. You know, even though Roman's reign has been phenomenal and everything there has been great, you know, give Cody a shot. The crowd's behind him, so...
You got to comment on that, Conan?
Yeah, I think you got to give the rub to somebody. Might as well be Cody super over. And that might have been part of the thing to entice him to come. Hey, we'll give you the belt at WrestleMania.
Next is from our boy Brian Dunlop. And the subject is TNA Circuit 2010 versus WWE and AEW Circuit 2022-23. Hello, Conan Disco. TNA Impact Wrestling had a stacked roster in 2010 when they tried going head-to-head with WWE. If this era of TNA time traveled to 2023 or 22, would they have a better chance of competing with Monday Night Raw? Would AEW still be considered the number two USA wrestling company with 2010's TNA in the picture? It's kind of a weird – I don't know. I mean, if half those guys are working in WWE now. So you wouldn't have – I don't – yeah. Like, if you had the TNA roster, yeah, they could be pretty good. Like, well, they'd be able to compete, I think.
That was a stacked roster. I mean, he's right about that.
Yeah, but they weren't able to compete in 2010. What makes you think they would compete now? WWE's such a monster, bro. Yeah. I mean, look at AEW with all the names they have.
Next is from Dale M. Fortunio, and the subject is, this makes sense, right? What's up, gang? Picture this. Someone has been talking crap about you and your family for so long you've had enough. You start fighting them, and within 20 seconds you help the guy back up so that he can punch you in the face. This is exactly what Moxley and Page did. Their promos of hate were pretty believable, but it gets thrown out the window once they take turns hitting each other. For someone that prides himself to be tough, Moxley throws all credibility out the window when he starts letting his own opponent hit him with a terrible forearm. If you're running a business, what would you say to anyone that does that, and why can't anyone throw a good-looking punch anymore? Bonus. Any memorable songs you've seen a stripper dance to at a club? I saw a chick dance to Night Songs by Cinderella once, and damn. Thanks, and go Isles. This guy just endorsed the Islanders? We're going to have to suspend him for a moment for that, because I was a Ranger fan growing up. So, Gail, unfortunately, you're going to get a – no, but you're absolutely right. You're seeing the same thing I'm seeing. Bro, the forearm spot, because so many guys do it now, right? It looks like atrocious, terrible psychology. Like for it just makes no sense. Like, you could see like a blood feud where maybe this is the third or fourth match these guys have had, and they've been beating each other up, and it's down to, you know, they've been in the ring for 15 minutes, and they get up and they look at each other and they just start doing it, right? But bro, this happens in every, like, literally every match on the shows these days, and it does not make any sense whatsoever for that, but for you to let the guy stand there and let a guy hit you in the face. It's stupid. Like, and when people see this, like this guy, Dale Fortunio, it does look stupid. Not just to me, you know? So what are you going to say about that, Conan?
Well, I think just like there's a lot of influence of lucha in wrestling today, there's a lot of influence from Japan, which is where they got it from. The problem is the Japanese guys, just like the lucha guys, they lay it in and they know how to make it look good, you know? And then right. A lot of these people are just copying, and since they're too lazy, they don't know how to throw a punch. They do these fucking really weak looking, unbelievable forearms. I don't have any problem within the confines of a match doing forearms, because we have our own rules. This is not really a street fight. This is not UFC. This is wrestling, and we have our own rules. So forearms is part of the game right now. But if you're going to do it, make it look good and lay it in, or you don't have to potato the guy, but they do it so weak and it just looks like a high spot nowadays. I forearm you, you forearm me, I forearm you, you forearm me, you know, just to get a pop. And so, yeah, I don't have any problem with forearms. It's just the people that don't know how to do it. And of course, if somebody's throwing, and bro, when Moxley's in there with Page, he has no idea if the forearm looks good or bad. He's in the middle of the match thinking right. of what comes next and what he's doing and working the crowd and, you know, trying, you know, so he doesn't know it looks bad until he watches it afterwards.
Next is from Ick5150, and the subject is random questions. Sup, squad? Disco, you see Evil Uno's titties bounce like an episode of Baywatch on Dynamite? Reverse effect of that slow mo Pam Anderson run. Conan, what the hell is going on with chess? What the hell is Conan going on with Conan? What the hell is going on with Chessman and smacking that dude? And who's he got dirt on that he's still in the roster? Shouldn't Larry Dallas have a Spanish phrase of the week like Kleinrock? It might help him. Jojo, did you know about Justice Payne's death when it happened? I knew the guy used to be into that scene, but I didn't know until Nick Gage's Dark Side episode.
Yeah, Justice Payne was Nick Gage's brother, Conan. He was a CZW wrestler deathmatch guy, and he died a few years back, jumped off a bridge.
Oh, you mean really? Committed Conan? Suicide?
Yeah.
That sucks. P.S. Shout out to Bam. Bam is getting a shout out. I don't know
why. Yeah, Bam from the Discord.
So, shouldn't Larry Dallas have a Spanish phrase of the week like Crime Rock? Well, we keep getting all these Spanish experts that don't know how to speak Spanish. The Mexican wrestling experts that don't know how to speak Spanish. So yeah, Larry should learn how to speak Spanish. And Conan, what happened with Chessman? I don't know this story.
I spoke about it last week. As usual, you don't listen to the fucking Lucha Libre thing. But So some influencer, very famous influencer, was was at the show and he got smacked. And Chessman got suspended for 2 weeks. And I think he has to apologize to the guy, too.
What are the rules in Mexico?
You're not like, going to fire him for that.
Like they,
well,
like
the guy could have. The guy could have. The guy could have charged him with assault. You know,
right? Because I remember Scott Hall had slapped somebody, and like he had said that it had cost him $40,000.
Right. Right. That, you know, so he like, could have, yeah. Bro. Yeah. He could. And he even said, "I'm not going to sue Chessman. I'm going to sue AAA." So from what I understand, he's got to go give him a public apology somewhere. I don't know where it is. I think next week, but he was suspended for 2 weeks. We're not going to fire him over that, but right. You know, he is suspended. He was talked to and he's on probation, you know? And so I spoke to him too. Probation. Yeah. So do I.
Next especially is from James. Nothing. Next is from James Fogel. What's up, guys? Big fan of the show. And I respect the work you put in the wrestling business. One thing that sucks is all these new podcasts is they don't value wrestling people who are in the wrestling business when the business was hot. Not be confused with WWE's brand being hot right now in the Bloodline story. I have a that's true though. That's, you guys make a good point here right off the bat. I have a hypothetical question. Do you feel like wrestling is still a credible brand? And do you think you could do numbers on the Superstation day in the same time slot running under the same premise that they had already won, not spending big money and not doing big things production wise? I mean, I can't even watch AEW as a wrestling fan who watches for believability, storyline, and star power. To be honest, I really feel like AEW is a knockoff WWE. They're just really bad at it. I hope my email wasn't too long, and I hope you guys could dive into my question. I'd love to hear what you think. It just sucks as a wrestling fan like myself. It's not really a lot of options. WWE and the Bloodline story is hot. MJF and Jake Cargo look like stars, but something's just not right with that company. So what is the question? I have a hypothetical question. Do you think NWA Wrestling is still a credible brand?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think it could do numbers on the Superstation day in the same time slot? No, not the NWA Wrestling? No. They're too... first of all, they don't have enough talent. Like they don't have a lot of they've got a few guys on that roster that are talented, but like all the other talent has gone to AEW and WWE.
Right.
You know, what do you think about this, Conan?
Well, here's the thing. They have some talent, but in this in wrestling, just like in anything else, it's a marquee issue. If you don't have names, you're going to be slotted, you know, underneath the big two. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think they have enough names to compete with anybody. They do have talent because there's a lot of talent out there, but you need marquee names, and all of them are in WWE and AEW.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah.
If I certainly would have kept Aldis and kept him on top. I don't know what the thinking was behind letting Nick go. He was like the face of the NWA.
Well, obviously him and Corrigan had a difference.
Yeah.
Next is from some Gonda Chanko. The subject is Brock the Smart. Well, what's going on with Nick Aldis, too, by the way? I thought he'd be signed somewhere by now.
Weird.
Is Brock the smartest worker in WWE history? Hey, K100 crew. First, I've never heard you speak about this, but Disco, what is your favorite Premier League team? I like Liverpool. My question is Brock Lesnar the smartest worker in WWE history? He got offered a match with Bray Wyatt and quickly swerved that. When he had a match with Moxley at WrestleMania, Mox is pitching a bunch of stupid hardcore spots to him. Mox wanted to use thumbtacks, and Brock shut all of them down. Looking at Moxley's matches now, I can't imagine what Brock thought of that. He's also getting paid millions of years to show up, do a few F5s, and go back to his farm. Do you think Brock might be one of the smartest workers in the business? Absolutely, he is. He's maximizing his money for the amount of time he puts in, which is ultimately the goal. The goal of anybody doing this for the right reasons. Your goal would be to try to have like the Brock Lesnar treatment. You're a top guy. You get paid exorbitant amounts of money, and you don't have to work that much. That, you know, am I right, Conan?
Yes.
Brock might be smart, but you got to remember, too, he's had Heyman advising him since the beginning.
And he always does business.
Yeah, but at the end of the day,
The biggest mistake they made, and this was Vince's, I don't know why they kept doing this, but remember when Brock's spot on the show would be just standing there while Paul Heyman cuts a promo? Mm-hmm. And that's all he would do the whole show?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? What a waste of a weekly, you know, just having Brock Lesnar stand there and let Paul Heyman talk for him. It's like a waste of money, you know? But now he comes to the show and he does stuff. You know, they're maximum. I like what Hunter does with them.
Yeah, because if you listen to Brock's promos, they aren't that good. And, right. And you've got the best talker in the last 20 years on there, you know? So who wouldn't want Paulie as their mouthpiece?
Yeah.
You know, he talks and Brock goes in there and he does what he does, you know, and there's very few guys that have the belief. This is very important in wrestling. He's one of the few guys that actually has a believability factor.
All right. So next one's going to get this guy suspended. John Santos. Subject is, why does Brian the Last have heat with Conan? Hey, what's up, guys? And hope all is well. What is up with the Brian? He calls him Brian the Last instead of Brian Last. What is up with Brian the Last always burying Conan? I think all of us would like to know where the heat stems from. Disco is because Brian the Last booked Conan back in the day for $500 for his 18th bar mitzvah, and Conan didn't show up. Also, Conan, with you being a great booker in the business, if you were to book a match between Crazy Eddie and Disco for Tony Khan on an AEW Dark Elevation taping, who would you book to go over, Crazy Eddie or Disco? In my opinion, I would have Disco do the job for Crazy Eddie. Disco's a jobber. So that's going to get him suspended. Let's get two.
You're a bigger jobber. Yeah. So you think I'm going to have a guy that has never been trained in wrestling, who's wrestling in backyards and not even doing a good job of that, over a guy that was professionally trained? Yucca. There was another question before that.
What's Brian Last's problem with Conan? I have no idea.
Conan didn't know the guy, but he would have.
Yeah.
He's
been very negative towards Conan on his show with Cornette.
He wasn't a fan of Conan. It all stems from Conan's work in WCW. He just wasn't a fan of it. And that's the way he's always, and it's interesting, because we hear Cornette is a fan of you.
Yeah.
And your work in promos. Cornette has been spoke about your promo like you remember when Conan, it was funny too, when you cut that promo on Tully, right?
Right.
And Cornette did the same thing. That is like, he's like, God, he goes, basically like you kind of just ripped Tully a new, you ripped him a new one. It's like, I don't know if we're keeping score, but the score on that would have to be like 100-0. Right. It's like Tully didn't even get a word in. You just ripped the guy apart, and Conan put that over, Cornette put that over, but Brian Last did not.
Yeah,
he was never a fan of your promos. So like, yeah. I don't know.
I don't, I said, I don't, me, bro. I don't know the guy, so I don't care. I don't care why he doesn't like me. I don't care what he says about me. And bro, to him, I like to send him. You know me, I'm a very altruistic type of guy. Mm-hmm. I like to send him a consolation prize, and I'd like to send him, if you guys both remember, the snowman.
Yeah.
Splooge in the guy's face and put a carrot in his mouth. So snowman for you in March. How do you like that, Brian Last? I'm not that bad of a guy.
Next is from Chris Bandicoot, and the subject is Roxanne collapsing. I was watching WNXT Roadblock Tuesday, March 7th, and came down to the main event of Mako Satomura versus Roxanne Perez, Prodigy, for the NXT Women's Championship. It was a hard-fought battle in the end. Roxanne has collapsed after showing Satomura the respect, and EMT stretched her out of the arena. Fans don't know if this is a work or not. Can you guys see what to make of this 3-minute clip? Pull it up, Joe.
Yeah, all this shit happens at the beginning anyway.
Ooh. Hey, we talked about the strikes. Satomura and...
Nah, this is a work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a work, dude. Bro, you know it's a work? It's because the referees aren't working good.
Not only that, if somebody collapses, wait a minute, why are you sending the referees and not the medics? Right. Why are you sending four referees out there?
Exactly.
Right.
So that wasn't 100% work. So we don't have to watch anymore. This is a work.
I wasn't buying her opponent's selling either. That was kind of cartoonish.
Yeah, they go back to go to the girl. Hey, get back. And they're like,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
That's what the referees have to act. They always overact.
Right.
Yeah.
Why'd they send four out there? Yeah.
Right. Okay. Next one's from Alexis Figueroa, and the subject is the NBA. Hello, team. What do you guys think about the Kyrie and KD trades and how they are really not built for a future run? Do you guys think Kyrie will bail the minute the season is over? And also, the Knicks have benefited from them two leaving. P.S. Not a suggestion, but a comment. It'd be cool to have the sports question on K100 Sports. Let's go Jets. Good grief. This guy's a Jet fan. I like the Kyrie and KD trades. I mean, but we'll see if,
That's not a bad idea. You should do that, Joe. Send the sports questions for K100 Sports.
Okay.
So we have more content.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Also, what's the guy's name?
Alexis Figueroa.
Good Alexis idea. Figueroa. Yeah.
Okay. What do you guys think about the Kyrie and KD? Okay, so I like the trades, but we're just going to have to see how these guys perform in the playoffs, because that's what they got these guys. It's going to be... I think it very well could go down to Dallas and Phoenix in the when would they play each other here? Let me look. That's going to be a very interesting series if those two teams play each other.
Yeah. Well, the bad part is that Kyrie's hurt. Okay. But Doncic is hurt. Durant got hurt in warmups. Okay.
Yeah. He's always hurt. Weeks. Yeah,
he's always hurt. So you got to think, will he be there for the playoffs?
Right.
Phoenix is not the same without him, by the way. He's a killer, man. He came back like he hadn't missed any time at all.
Right. Well, he's one of the best players in the world, best player in the world, So, I mean, it's very interesting. You go, like, if you were talking about the best players in the world right now, okay, who would you, for the five guys, be that you think the five best players right now in the NBA?
Giannis.
Yep.
Ja Morant.
I'm not putting him up there.
Yeah, I'm putting him up there.
Okay. Well, when you hear these other names, I don't know how you're going to put Ja Morant ahead of these other names.
All right. Tatum, Luka, and Embiid.
I'd say.
What was that statistic you mentioned last week, DI? What was it?
And which statistic?
It's like an
player efficiency rating, PR.
Yeah, let me see who the top guys are.
Okay. I would still say LeBron James is in that conversation. Giannis, right. Kevin Durant, Luka, and Jokic, I think, are the top five players in the league right now.
That's a good list.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's hard to, like, you know, like I say, if we went top 10, it'd be more interesting. But you know, for the top five,
I think you're
hard pressed.
That's a good list. Five guys
in that,
Here's your top guys according to the PER stat. You got okay. I'm gonna expose myself for not really watching anymore. It's Jokic. Okay, Joel Embiid, Luka Doncic, Giannis, and Antetokounmpo.
Giannis.
Yeah. And then Domantas Sabonis.
Domantas
Sabonis is up there, too. I forgot about
that. He's number five.
Bro, Sacramento has a great team, and I want to bring that up in the sports section this week.
Did you see the brawl? Yeah, we talk about it. Did you see the brawl they had with Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's like, and I like their coach too. They quietly went.
Mike Brown might be the coach of the year because at the beginning of the year, if you would have thought you could have thought the Lakers and the Clippers were going to have a better record, bro. They've got the third best record and they're only half a game behind Memphis. Yeah. Sabonis, Fox, Barnes. I mean, they just got a really good crew, and they got a high offensive output. But we'll talk about them in the sports section.
Look at Sabonis's. These are Sabonis's numbers from that Milwaukee game the other night, right? Okay, Giannis went 46 points, 12 boards, and 4 assists. Mm. Chris Middleton went 31 points, 3 boards, 9 assists. Brooke Lopez said 23-8-4. That was like the best guys for Sacramento. Bro, Sabonis went 23 points, 17 boards, and 15 assists.
That's ridiculous.
Fox for 35. Kevin Werter went 8 for 11 from three-point range, 20 points. And this game had a brawl.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is like, that's a good.
But Milwaukee won.
But they're still, because they're better. The East teams are better than the West teams this year.
But Sacramento, that's a real good team. Kind of a sleeper. You know who's been a big disappointment? Your fucking Hawks.
They're in a holding pattern right now, so I don't know. Next is from Mark DiPaolo on the subject of living the gimmick. Peace, fellas. Second time Ryan interfigures since my first question got over so well, I've received my Hindi ball massage from DI and a secret escort trip to New York City. I could slip another question in this week. Get it? Slip it in, Disco? Okay. Hey, dog, thanks for the info on Mexico. I'm coming to see Lucha Libre when I make my way down to Mexico City. I'm really looking forward to it. My question is which wrestler that you guys worked with or heard about lived his gimmick the best? The reason for my question is I currently live on Long Island. I recently saw MJF at a local restaurant here in Jericho, Long Island. 2 days after the 60-minute Ironman match at the pay-per-view, he was all bruised and scratched from the match and was a complete gimmick. I tried explaining the business to my family I was with, and they somehow understood, but couldn't understand why I didn't want to ask the guy for a picture. The guy was eating with his parents, but I didn't approach him because from what I've read, he lives the gimmick, so what's the point? My family started to Google him, and he found out about the drink he threw on the kid, not from Google, but from overhearing MJF telling his parents. He tried apologizing to the kid after the show. The whole interaction like thereof made me proud to be a fan of his in the business. I guess the question is, does kayfabe even matter anymore? Who was the best at it in your guys' day? P.S. As always, sorry for being so long-winded. I guess Disco is still having an effect on me after our long weekend of lust and affection in New York City this past weekend. That's peace from the galaxy of Queens, New York, Mark DiPaolo. We're going to suspend him for misinformation. I do not have any type of relationship with this guy.
And he's a paisan, too.
Yeah, this cheap shot. The bet with Raven. Raven still lives his gimmick. I mean, there's nobody even a close second to, like, living the gimmick. Would you agree with that?
Well, back in the day, a couple guys lived the gimmick. But today,
Teddy Hart.
The gimmick
too, yeah.
1,000%. Juventude, 1,000%. But just nobody lives the gimmick. There is no kayfabe. That's why I like MJF, because he does do old school kayfabe. I'll give you an example. I was talking to Rey Mysterio the other day, and he was driving alone. And I go, why aren't you driving with Dom? He goes, because we're kayfabing people. And I go, that's excellent. But most people don't kayfabe. They take pictures together. That was a great match last night. I really respect you, or they're eating together. And I'm like, dude, I mean, there is something to kayfabe,
I saw people speculating online that one of the ways Dom might entice Ray to finally strike him or have that match would be to show up at Conan's house and attack you. What do you think? That's a possibility, Conan?
No.
No.
Interesting. All right, next is from Brandon Triano. The subject is Losers Advance. What's good, fellas? It's the mayor of K100. At this point, if I was Kazoo, just know my fiance has a big smile on her face with thanks. This guy's from the Discord, Joe?
Yes.
Okay, quick Discord report is as follows. We're all a big family. The AEW pay-per-view had us commenting and enjoying the show together. The Moxley versus Paige match and some of us toured if we really like it or not. By the way, Conan, I watch a lot of, like, about a 7-minute highlight clip of that match. It was just reduced. Bro, Dave gave that 5 stars.
Right.
It looked like negative match? 5 stars.
Oh, Moxley versus Paige? Yeah. I didn't see it. Yeah.
Okay. Regardless, it was fun. Join the Discord after joining the Patreon. You can skip on the offset Cardi B meal at McDonald's and use that money to support the show. Okay, here we go. I was listening to the Lucha Report with Harry Larry Dow. He calls him Harry Larry. That's actually a good name.
Okay.
I wonder if Larry's going to be upset about this. Harry Larry Dallas and the fact that Disco was shitting on that Losers Advance tournament was baffling. Conan getting heated was justified. Here's a great example. The mayor and Crazy Eddie are a team. We hate each other. The mayor thinks Crazy Eddie's a moron. The mayor's trying to win this match and can get away from this dude. And we have the match in hand, but Crazy Eddie does a dive into thumbtacks that are on fire for no reason, and we lose. The mayor is pissed, and now both guys have more heat because they have to team in again, and they hate it. The crowd eats it up because the build is them being forced to coexist, but they can't. The price of this is one of us loses our mask or hair. Conan, am I right that Disco has to be trolling? P.S. Conan, my fiance and I may be doing our wedding in Mexico. Hope we can catch a show. And P.S.S. My fiance laughed at getting suspended from the mailbag last week. Her laughing at following the rules of the show is very disrespectful and is deserving of an additional week suspension. Interesting.
Ratting his fiance.
Well, we suspended her last week.
Yes.
Okay. Well, here's the best part. If we did, what's her name, Joe?
He hasn't named her. He just says my fiance.
So then what got us to who did we suspend last week?
Brandon Triana's fiance was suspended. Yeah.
No, that's not how she put her name. What was her name?
She didn't email in, right?
Yeah. I think he was talking about.
Yeah. He was talking about her listening to the show.
Okay. There's 30 emails on this. So.
Clarify that for us, Brendan.
Well, first of all, Brendan Triano, you have a right to be wrong. The Losers Advance Tournament is terrible. It's a terrible idea. I've stated that, so that makes it a fact.
No, you suspended her because it says here, my future wife suggested I take the garbage out, and since I'm the mayor of K100, the rules of the show extend to me and state the suggestions result in suspension. Disco, if you can, please do the honor. So you suspended her on Brendan's behalf for asking him to take out the garbage.
Oh, good.
Okay, my bad.
All right. You got any comment on this email, Conan? I think the guy's wrong.
What's the question?
Disco, has your opinion on the Losers Advance Tournament changed at all now that you guys have discussed it and Brendan explained it even further?
No.
No.
He's like Trump. He never admits when he's wrong, even when he is, which is most of the time. I really don't. Yeah, he is trolling. What else would he fucking be doing? That's all he does. Yeah.
All right, cool. So that's been the mailbag.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.